David, how far back do we have to go to begin to think about the agenda, the globalist agenda, the plan to just control all of us?
Well, it's at least thousands of years, and probably a lot more than that, because if someone says to me, how deep does the rabbit hole go? Well, I don't know. I'm just going down it, and I've got to a certain point, but the end is nowhere in sight, because, you know, I talk about the way we are manipulated on a five-sense level through this network of interbreeding bloodlines and their secret society network. I've talked about how that network of bloodlines is ultimately controlled by interdimensional non-human entities. But you go beyond them. Who controls them? It's like the rabbit hole. You just keep going, and eventually it will be a form of consciousness that is holding this whole thing together. But in terms of where I've got so far, you can go back to a time when there was a global society of great advancement. Of course, native accounts and myths and stories describe this no matter what culture you go into. And then there was this enormous cataclysm of geological events which brought an end to that, what they called Golden Age, and that global society was split up into isolated groups. Now, these isolated groups originally had that that knowledge of reality and the vibrational state of reality, and how you can manipulate it, how you can use it, how you can read it. And so when you go around the world, you find in some parts of the world, they still continue with the runestones, throwing the runestones with the symbols on, which are energetic symbols which can be read by people that know what they're talking about to read energy fields. In another part of the world, in fact, all over the world now, you've got tarot cards, which have come through the ages. That's another way of the, another expression of this original knowledge, mm-hmm. Of how to read energy. And in Africa, they throw the bones. I've had this done for me by a Zulu shaman called Credo Mutwa. And these bones are carved into certain symbols, and they throw the bones. And again, just like they throw the runestones with symbols on them. It's all the same knowledge, but it's taken a different route. And all over the world. So when this society, this global society broke down, the world became isolated, and that's basically where official history picks it up, in places like Sumer, in what is now Iraq, which they call the cradle of civilization, and other parts of the world. But this was not the start of civilization. It was the restarting after recovering from these great cataclysmic events. Now, alongside this, in all the ancient cultures, you find this recurring theme, George, of an interbreeding between humans and a non-human race, creating hybrid bloodlines. And these hybrid bloodlines were the demigods. They were the middle people between the gods, as they were perceived.
Yes.
Non-human entities, which we would call extraterrestrials, I prefer to call them interdimensionals, and humans. And it was these bloodlines that became the royal bloodlines of the ancient world, all over the world, where they claimed the right to rule, which became eventually the so-called divine right to rule, which was just another expression of this original, I have the right to rule because I have the genetics of the gods. And these bloodlines have been expanding their power and influence and control through the centuries.
Through the entire planet, David, right?
Because what they've done now, what's happening now, George, is they've expanded into another global society. We are now in the first global society since the original one vast eons ago. And what has happened is that there are certain parts of the world in the ancient world where these bloodlines really centered themselves, and one of them was ancient Sumer, in what is now Iraq. And then later, in the same land between two rivers, Mesopotamia, the Tigris and the Euphrates, in what became known as Babylon and the Babylonian Empire. So I would say, just as a quick aside here, George, that absolutely it is no accident about the invasion of Iraq at this time. Yes, on one level, it might be about oil, and that's a benefit and the control of oil and all that stuff. But that's only one level. Another level, much more important to these people, is this has enormous historic significance to them, this land, because it's ancient Sumer and it's ancient Babylon where these bloodlines overwhelmingly came out of. They then relocated, as I detail all this in the book, because it's a chronological story. They then relocated eventually in Rome, where they were behind the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire then expanded into Northern Europe, mm-hmm. and there was interbreeding again between these hybrid bloodlines with the aristocracy of Northern Europe and then eventually the aristocracy and royal families of Northern Europe were these bloodlines that were interbred into these hybrid bloodlines. And then through the great European empires, particularly the British Empire, but the French and others too, these bloodlines basically took the world over in terms of their colonization of the world. But there's two forms of control. One is a control you can see, like fascism or communism,
yes.
Apartheid, a dictatorship you can see. And that has a finite life, because at least the people under that dictatorship know they're under a dictatorship. They know they're in a state of control. The greatest form of dictatorship is a prison cell where you can't see the bars, where you are told you are free, and you think you are free up to a point, because people who think they're free don't rebel about the fact that they're not.
Until you bounce into that imaginary bar, you realize you can't go much farther than where you were.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like you're free as long as you don't want to go past this point,
mm-hmm.
and then you realize you're not. And what happened with so-called, giving freedom to the former colonies, like the United States, was that as apparently on the surface, these European powers withdrew. And when I'm talking about the European powers, the countries, it's not the prime ministers or the leaders that are in control. It's the secret society network controlled by what I call the shadow people that people never see. They're the ones that control the people who are apparently in power. I mean, you know, your prime minister comes for 5 years or 10 years, president comes for 4 years or 8 years, and then they're gone and someone else comes in.
The ones we think we elect, they're not really in power.
Elect, which, of course, with George Bush, we clearly have not. But the thing is that these people come and go, but they're just front people. The real power is always in power. As someone brilliantly said, it doesn't matter who you vote for, the government still gets in. Well, the secret force behind governments gets in. So what happened was that when these colonial powers withdrew on the surface, they left out in these countries, including the United States, the bloodline network and the secret society network, which manipulates that bloodline network and its gophers and front people into positions of power and authority. And it has gone on controlling those countries ever since. And the United States has been set up as a fall guy. It's been set up to take the rap for advancing the agenda of global control, because although the bullets are fired out of America symbolically,
mm-hmm.
the gun is loaded in the center of the secret society network in Europe, in places like Rome and London. And these key centers of this secret society network.